How's it hanging, Orange County? I'm your host, Erin Boshears, and you're listening to Breakfast in the Afternoon, available only on 88.9 KUCI FM. This week will mark our third week in the discussion of conversion therapy, what it is, what it looks like, and who's to be affected by it. For my past two segments, I was lucky enough to have Kel Williams, the director of the LGBTQ Center in Orange County, as well as some outside perspectives, comment on their viewpoint of conversion therapy. From this, we learned that conversion therapy is any attempt to change a person's sexual orientation, gender identity, or gender expression. 20 states and over 100 cities have banned conversion therapy in the U.S., with most recently, in the past 6 months, cities in West Virginia, Michigan, Missouri, Oklahoma, Wisconsin, South Carolina, and Kansas have all introduced legislation that bans the use of conversion therapy on minors. We've heard the stories of victims, the harm it has caused, and the lives it has ruined. We have discussed the viewpoint of the American Psychological Association, the American Academy of Nursing, the Pan American Health Organization, and the American Counseling Association, along with the Association of American Medical Colleges, that have defended the LGBTQ community and have done extensive research and trials on the normalcy of homosexuality and its likes. But I opened my platform. I told you, my listeners, to email me with your discrepancies if you had any, and that is my job, to provide you with both sides of the story. So for this week, my two guests will be expressing their opinions on the fluidity of sexuality. At this time, I'd like to issue a trigger warning to all of my listeners. What you're hearing may be upsetting, but it was my promise to share with you the world as it is, without my opinions. Without further ado, here's the other side.
My name is Dr. Mike Davidson, and I lead Core Issues Trust in Northern Ireland, which is a registered charity, and also am chairman of the International Federation for Therapeutic and Counseling Choice.
My name is Matthew Greck. I am 32 years old. I'm based in Malta, and I am a trustee at Core Issues Trust, and I also help lead X Out Loud, which is a community of men and women leaving LGBT, particularly based in Europe, but definitely welcoming individuals from all over the world. So that's exciting.
Now, the reason we're hearing from these men today is because their organizations have been affiliated with the practice of conversion therapy. They are often cited as proof that one's sexuality can be transformed. But with this being said, I wanted to give our guests the opportunity to define their practice on their own terms and see if they truly affiliated with the term conversion therapy. This was their response.
So I think we would reject what we see to be essentially a pejorative term, an imposed term, conversion therapy. No, we're not comfortable with this term because we feel that it does injustice to both the concept of conversion, which is a religious term to our way of thinking, and also to therapy. And therefore, bringing the two together just creates something that does not represent what we do. Essentially, what we do, we call safety, sexual attraction, fluidity, exploration in therapy. So it's exploratory work, essentially, that we do. So our task is not about converting anybody's sexuality. It's about standing with them and helping them to explore issues because they're not comfortable with what is happening in their lives. We don't use a medical model. So we don't talk about treatment. We don't talk about cure. We talk about clients. We talk a lot about autonomy and the right and freedom of individuals to talk about their issues and to be supported.
Safety, which stands for sexual attraction, fluidity, exploration, and therapy, is, from what I understand, the idea that sexual attraction is not set in stone and therefore can be altered in forms of psychotherapy. Now, the APA dismissed the practice, saying that research surrounding it used biased sampling techniques, inaccurate classification subjects, assessments based solely upon self-reports, and poor or non-existent outcome measures. In a commonly cited study done by Arizona Christian University on the practice, which was said to prove sexual fluidity, four primary flaws, which I read through myself of the experience, nearly disproved it altogether. Those flaws were: 1, the instrument that measured sexual attraction experiences were self-reported. 2, participants were highly religious with strongly conservative religious views. 3, all participants were men who were actively seeking sexual fluidity. And 4, no follow-up was conducted on the subjects after they left therapy. Now, with this methodology aside, I asked our guests what their response was to the harm that attempting to change one's sexuality has caused. Here was their counter.
Well, I think we should all be against poor psychotherapeutic practice. And because of that, we should all be functioning according to ethical frameworks and guidelines that are well established in terms of research. Now, obviously, we disagree with some groups who say that this should not be offered. Of course, where people have been hurt or injured in some way, we want to have all the concern that we possibly could have and learn from poor experience. And the way to do that is to regulate practices, to train people, not to ban things.
Recalling from our prior discussions, the primary reason conversion therapy was banned in California was because it was being practiced on minors, a majority of which were placed in treatment against their will by their parents. I asked next, what then is their viewpoint on the treatment of minors and if they work with them through their organizations?
We're not registered to work with minors, and the reason really is practical. We don't have the facility right now to be able to reach that part of the population. If we did work with minors, we would be working in a systemic way, that is in close association with the family, not just with the individual.
To wrap up our interview, I asked our guests what their concerns were for the future. They closed with this.
I feel like teenagers now are dealing with an even stronger tension because there's so much pressure on teenagers to find their sexuality now. I feel very burdened for this generation because we have created a culture where people are supposed to doubt who they fundamentally are. All of these laws have actually created an identity crisis in our youngsters. And they are not secure in who they are as girls, who they are as boys, and which way they're supposed to go, et cetera, et cetera. The family unit is at the heart of this battle. What are we doing to strengthen family as God intends it? I guess when I was younger, I would have wished that somebody presented to me an alternative to homosexuality, because I started experimenting with homosexuality because I felt like I was dealing with same-sex attraction and I didn't have any way out. I wish that this was fully part of the educational system, that you know, our brain can develop new patterns of thinking, that we don't have to be victims of unwanted sexuality and unwanted lifestyles, that there is hope for everyone. And I think that is what a balanced educational system should look like. Yeah.
There is so much I'd like to say, and so much I wish I could explain. But listeners, you get to decide for yourselves. When you move forward and vote, take into consideration the stories we have heard and the information presented, and use this to guide your decisions. Until then, be kind to yourselves, be kind to one another, and I'll catch you next time on 88.9 KUCI FM.